Okay, so we have covered the Mundaka Upanishad, and in that I thought I'll do the summary of the Mundaka Upanishad, and today we'll see the first. We have three Mundakams. Mundakam in the Upanishad consists of three parts as Prathama, Dvitiya, Tritiya Mundakani. We have the three parts, of which the first part will take, of the first part, each part has two sections. The first section of the Mundakam we'll see. You know, this Mundaka Upanishad belongs to Atharva Vedaha, that you all know. And because we are chanting regularly another Atharva Sirsha Upanishad called Ganapati Atharva Sirsha Upanishad. That is why we regularly chant this Atharva Veda Shanti Pataha Bhadram Karnebhi. We are chanting regularly. You know that. And this first section of the first Mundaka consists of 9 mantras. And of these 9 mantras, there are the whole first section can be divided into 2 parts. There is a glory of or the greatness of Vidya, the Sampradayaha, is in the first topic. And the second topic discussed in the first section is Brahma Vidya, the knowledge of Brahman. So Brahma Vidya Mahatmyam is the first topic, and Brahma Vidya is the second topic, the two topics discussed in the first section. And of the two topics, we can say first 3 mantras, number 1, number 2, and number 3, the three topics deal with Brahma Vidya Mahatmyam, greatness or the glory of this knowledge. The first three mantras, and afterwards 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 to 9, the knowledge, the Brahma Vidya is the topic, isn't it? The Swarupam of Brahman is presented, revealed in the second topic. And the very first opening of the question, I think the opening of the verse itself says the, talks about the greatness of the Brahma Vidya, means how the greatness of Brahma Vidya, the glory of the Brahma Vidya is how it is presented by stating this Vidya being timeless. The knowledge of Brahman, the Brahma Vidya, or the subject matter of the Shastram is beginningless, because Shastram itself is beginningless. So beginninglessness of the Shastram is also brought to light. And second thing, mainly, this Brahma Vidya has the greatness of having been coming from the foremost of the lineage of the teacher of teachers. That is none other than Bhagavan himself. That is why we have the first verse presents a list of teachers. One after the other, we have a list of teachers being presented. So the Sampradayaha, by presenting the lineage of teachers, a few list teachers, name mentioning few teachers' names, this also highlights what now the importance of the Sampradaya. Only if a person comes as a Sishya of another teacher, and he would have been a Sishya of another teacher, thereby he knows the method of unfoldment. The method of unfoldment will be very, very clear for the person. That is also highlighted. And in that, we saw the first thing. The Rishi here of this whole Upanishad here we have, Angiras is the teacher, and Shaunakaha is the Grihastaha, a householder, who has lived a very clean life, and he is the student here. So the a person who has lived his life properly, would have lived a life of karma yoga alone, becomes prepared for this jnanam. That's also implied through presenting this Shaunakaha as a householder. The Shaunaka, the student. So having, after these first three verses, we see from the fourth to the ninth verses, in these verses, the Brahma Vidya is presented, means Brahma Vidya, knowledge of Brahman is presented not elaborately but briefly. Why there is a brief presentation of knowledge of Brahman in these verses? Because later on, the whole second section and the whole of second Mundaka will be elaboration of this subject matter only. Though the Upanishad is like in this form, the format of the Upanishad is such that there is a brief presentation of the subject matter, later on elaboration of what is presented in a nutshell, again the same briefly it will be, what is elaborately presented will be briefly summed up in the at the end. Isn't it? This is how it is. So Sankshepa Kathanam, then Vistara Kathanam, then again Sankshepa Kathanam. So brief presentation, elaboration, again brief presentation, brief summary. That is how the whole textbook is. Now you know the first section I told you, what is it? I have to remember all these things. As soon as you open up the book, all that the Upanishad presents you is the glory of the knowledge. How does it present? By presenting a lineage of teachers. It is coming straight from Bhagavan himself. That statement, don't ever think Bhagavan came and he opened his mouth and spoke to the student. No. Doesn't mean that. The reality is eternal. And the reality, isn't it? Knowledge is always in the form of cognition, a thought, and knowledge is not outside of the reality. Therefore, this knowledge also is beginningless, timeless. And this has been coming down from one person to the other person through the sampradaya, through this karna paramparaya, guru paramparaya, paramparaya, it has been coming down. It has been coming down for generations. That is revealed in the first three verses. And thereafter, in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, as I told you, the Brahma Vidya is presented, means the very question asked by the first question asked by the student also shows how the student is not totally an ignorant person, is already an informed person, not a completely ignorant. That means the student is very clear. What is that? The whole jagat is what? Definitely, there's something. This whole jagat is the mithya, but there is satyam behind this jagat, mithya jagat. If the satyam is known, understood, then the whole mithya prapancha will be as good as known, will be known as it were. You don't need to know the whole prapancha one after the other, isn't it? So the very question shows the standard of the student Shaunaka. What are the first question asked? Kasmin vijnate sarvam vijnatam bhavati. What is that by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were? This is the question, isn't it? That question itself shows what? The student already knows there is one satyam. But he makes it very clear, he does not know what the satyam is. Therefore, he knows the whole jagat is what now? That's now manifestation of the satyam. Therefore, if you know the satyam, everything in this jagat becomes known as it were. By knowing one thing, everything else becomes known as it were, known as well. As well known means, really there is one reality. It shows the student is not just... He is a big thing, good thinker, and he is a sharp-minded, and his inclination, it shows lots of things. He must have lived a clean life of karma yoga, he is highly inclined for jnanam, he is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, he knows the value of knowledge, he is sadhana chatushtaya sampannaha, and then he knows very clearly by knowing the truth, everything else becomes known as it were, because yekasmin vastuni jnanam, ஜாத்தே சர்வம் விஜாத்தம் பவதி. இதில் ஏகஸ்ய விஜ்ஞானேன ஏகஸ்ய ஞானேன சர்வஸ்ய ஞானம் சித்தித்தி. பை நோயிங் ஒன் திங் எவ்ரி திங் எல்ஸ் பிகம்ஸ் டெஃபினெட்லி நோன் அஸ் வெல். இஸ்இன் நோன் அஸ் இட் வெல் மீன்ஸ் வாட்? தெர்ஃபோர் தி ஸ்டூடண்ட் நோஸ். தட் ஷோஸ் தி ஷௌனகாஸ் ஹவு குட் தி ஸ்டூடண்ட் வாஸ். கஸ்மின் விஜ்ஞாத்தே சர்வம் இதம் விஜாத்தம் பவதி, இஸ் தி க்வெஸ்சன். அண்ட் ஆஃப்டர்வர்ட்ஸ் the teacher gives an answer. When he gave an answer, what is that which, by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were, he just says Brahman. Why? Brahman is the word implying the reality, the nature of the reality, because reality has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. And what, there's no other way of recognizing the reality. Reality happens to be the subtlest truth. It cannot be known by any other description, any other way of expounding it. It has to be understood in terms of its swarupam. So what is the swarupam of the reality? Limitlessness is the swarupam of the reality. Therefore, Brahman is a word which implies the swarupam of the reality being limitlessness. So he just says, you know, that Brahman is the reality by knowing which everything else becomes known as it were. Brahman is the reality. By knowing the reality, everything becomes known. Then there he said, but how to know that Brahman, isn't it? That Brahman, he uses the two lakshanas in order to reveal that vastu. Which vastu? The vastu which is knowing which everything else becomes known, as it were. To know, the teacher has to reveal what that vastu is. Has to bring to light through the teaching. The teacher has to make the student see what that vastu is. What is that vastu? Isn't it? Which is behind every verse, every object as the truth of it. For which he uses the lakshanam, isn't it? He presents the, Brahma Vidya is presented using through lakshanani, through lakshanams. What are they? One is tatastha lakshanam and another one is swarupa lakshanam. But first he presents the swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. Swarupa lakshanam of Brahman, remember that verse. If you don't remember, now you all have to say. So to answer the student's question, the teacher gives the answer. What answer he gives? He reveals swarupam of Brahman. He presents a mantra wherein swarupam of Brahman is revealed. And that first mantra which he presents reveals the swarupa lakshanam of Brahman. What is the mantra? See the seventh verse, sixth verse. So in the first mundaka, now this is the verse all of you had to memorize and know correctly. Sixth mantra. This is an answer. Sixth mantra is an answer for Shaunaka's question. How it becomes an answer? Because it reveals the swarupam of the reality, the Brahman. It unfolds the swarupam of the Brahman, isn't it? When, what is the swarupa lakshanam? If a word reveals the swarupam of Brahman, it is called a swarupa lakshanam. Every word in this, used in this mantra, is a swarupa lakshanam for Brahman. Every word defines Brahman. Definition of Brahman. Isn't it? Two definitions is, or what now? The swarupa lakshanam, tatastha lakshanam are two definitions. The first definition, the swarupa lakshanam, every word becomes a lakshanam, swarupa lakshanam for Brahman. How does it reveal swarupam of Brahman? By negating every word, negates what Brahman is not, thereby it reveals what Brahman is. It negates what Brahman is not. It negates what the reality is not. Thereby, it reveals what Brahman is. The such a word is called what now? Swarupa Lakshanam for Brahman. It doesn't directly reveal Swarupa of Brahman. By negating what Brahman is not, it reveals Swarupa of Brahman. Now, look at this now. So, sixth verse actually stands for what? Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman. See now. Yattade Adreshyam Agrahyam Agotram Avarnam Achakshushrotram Tad Apanipadam Nityam Vibhum Sarvagatam Susukshmam Tad Avyayam Yad Bhutayonim Paripashyanti Dhiraha. So here, that when the teacher gives the answer, he doesn't say, I am saying this answer. He says what? Dhiraha paripashyanti. The wise people see the reality, behind reality of everything in this way. How do they see? He says, they see the reality means what? Bhuta yonihi. Bhutanam yonihi, bhuta yonihi. The truth of every being, truth of all the beings, the source or origin of all the beings is called what now? Bhuta yonihi. The yoni means that from which everything has come into being. That which from which everything has come into being means what? That without which nothing can exist. It's called Bhuta Yonihi. So, Bhuta Yonim Dhiraha Paripashyanti. The wise people see the Bhuta Yonihi, the origin, the source, the truth, the reality, the existence of all the beings this way. What is that Bhuta Yonihi? If you know the Bhuta Yonihi, everything, all the bhutani are known as well, known as it were. If you know the yoni, bhuta yoni, all the bhutas are, bhuta means what? All the beings are known as it were. Therefore, what is the bhuta yoni? Yat adreshyam. See, every word now, adreshyam. Adreshyam means what here? That which cannot be seen through your senses. That which can be seen through your eyes means, it also said it negates anything which can be seen is what now? Brahman, the reality, the Bhuta Yonihi is not anything which is seen through eyes. It's negated, isn't it? So any form, name, color, everything, anything which you see through your eyes is negated as Abrahman. First, it negates what Brahman is not, isn't it? Adreshyam. Then, agrahyam. So, adreshyam also, not only anything which cannot be seen, anything and everything which can be perceived through senses, Brahman is not anything which is perceived through any of the senses. So, anything perceptible, Brahman is not anything perceptible through senses. So, adreshyam. Then agrahyam. Isn't agrahyam? Brahman is not, is something which cannot be held with your hands, by your hands means it is Brahman is not anything which is available or attainable through your organs of actions also. Anything which are able to attain using your organs of actions also is what now? Not Brahman. Isn't it? First agrahyam, then agotram. Agotram, Brahman does not belong to anything which has a gotram. Anything which has birth alone has a gotram. Your agotram or Brahman doesn't belong to any clan or anything. Anything which says, I belong to this gotram, body belongs to gotram, man has a gotram, isn't it? You can say the people belong to gotram and different groups and clans and things. So anything which belongs to something, a group, is not Brahman, is not that. Agotram, avarnam. Avarnam also is what, not just the color here. Brahman doesn't have any varna. Anything which has a varna, Brahman is not anything which belongs to any given varna. Isn't it? Varna, avarnam, achakshushrotram. So not only that Brahman is cannot be object of, Brahman is not imperceptible or not attainable through sense organs, organs of actions. Brahman also is what now? Is something which doesn't have eyes, ears, etc. Brahman is not something which is endowed with anything, which is endowed with the sense organs, such as eyes, ears, etc. What now? Brahman is not that. Achakshushrotram. Then apanipadam, Brahman is not anything which has this hands and legs, etc. By saying all these things, the whole physical body, your mind, your senses, all are negated as abrahman. So Brahman is not any of these things. Look at it, your body has been negated, your senses have been negated, your external objects of perception have been negated. Adresham, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam. Now, achakshushrotram, Brahman is not something which has ears and eyes, etc. Achakshushrotram, tad apanipadam, is not something which has legs and hands, etc. Apanipadam. Now, by saying the first sentence helps you negate all, not the whole external world of objects is negated as abrahman. So here, we say adresham, agrahyam, no, agrahyam, agotram, avarnam, achakshushrotram, apanipadam. The first word alone, say adresham alone, negates what now? All the external world of objects. Brahman is distinct and different, not the external world of objects, adresham. Now, so agrahyam also stands what now? Brahman being not an external world of objects. Brahman is not the external world of objects. Then achakshushrotram apanipadam negates you, this your own physical body and the senses and pranas, everything. Achakshushrotram, that one word, negates Brahman being not your physical body, mind, sense complex. Not only objects which are external to the senses and body, also your body, mind, sense complex. Agotram avarnam negates Brahman being not the body. Achakshushrotram apanipadam negates again Brahman being not the sense powers, not the isn't pranas, not the organs of actions, not this legs and hands, etc. Everything is negated. That means what is there now? The whole anatma is negated as abrahman, anatma. Now what is this atma then? What is this Brahman? Atma is Brahman. Isn't it? Anatma is abrahman. Anatma is jagat. Atma is Brahman. Isn't it? So what is atma? He says nityaha. Isn't it? Nityam, vibhum, sarvagatam, susukshmam, tad avyayam. So when you negate everything, then what is that which is there as the witness of the mind? Everything has been negated as anatma, the witness of the mind, sakshi of the mind, the knower of the mind, subject of knowledge, the content of I alone is what here? Nityaha, that awareness, pure consciousness is what now? Vibhuhu. Vibhuhu, nityaha, vibhuhu, sarvagataha, nityaha it is eternal, vibhuhu, now that which shines as everything. And sarvagatam, it is all pervasive. Susukshmam, there is nothing which is subtler than consciousness. Consciousness is the subtlest. Susukshmam tad avyayam, does not undergo any change. Avyayam tad, isn't it? This is so indeclinable, unchangeable, unchanging, everlasting, eternal, all pervasive, subtlest reality is the consciousness which is actually Brahman. Isn't it? Here, nothing is directly, it is direct definition. Is this Swarupa Lakshanam? In Swarupa Lakshanam, in personally direct definition, what Brahman is not is negated, then what Brahman is revealed. First it negates, then it presents. If you negate everything, then what is that is consciousness when you arrive at. Now, I'm not doing all those things, okay, that you have done already in Drishya Prakriya and all those things. That consciousness, how do you arrive at this? Nityaha, Vibhuhu, Sarvagataha, Susukshmaha, Avyayaha. Isn't it? That is what Bhutayonihi, isn't it? You understand. This is the Swarupa Lakshanam of Brahman, which is presented, which presents Brahman in a nutshell. This is an answer for Kasmin Vijnate Sarvam Vijnatam Bhavati. In knowing, understanding, dwelling upon, ascertaining the reality, the Brahman, as one's own self, in one's own mind, as the I, will help you, what now? Will make you see the whole world being non-separate from that Brahman, which is that thereby knowing Brahman is as good as knowing the whole Jagat. This is the first answer. Okay? So please see that all of you memorize this verse. Yat tad adreshyam agrahyam. Can you say that now? Yat tad adreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tad apanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tad avyayam yad bhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. Is it clear now? Okay. After that, the mantra number 7. Okay, these two verses are the most important verses in the whole of first mundaka, first section of the mundaka, 6 and 7. The second verse also reveals the swarupam of Brahman. How does it reveal swarupam of Brahman? Not directly, but indirectly. So, indirect definition of Brahman is presented in the 7th mantra. Direct definition of Brahman is presented in the 6th mantra. So, 6th mantra definition is called what? Swarupa Lakshanam. 7th mantra definition is called what now? Tatastha Lakshanam. Tatastha Lakshanam. And this we will, as we go to other Upanishads hereafter, we have done only one Upanishad, we have not done many Upanishads. And when we go to Upanishads like Taittiriyam or Mandukyam, it become very clear what it means by saying Tatastha Lakshanam, what it means by saying Swarupa Lakshanam, because only then I will explain really, it will more elaborately, you'll understand. Okay. Now, here, so, Tatastha Lakshanam means what? Indirect definition means presenting or revealing Swarupam of Brahman by stating Brahman as the Jagat Karanam. Whenever Jagat, whole universe is brought into the picture and Brahman is said to be the cause of the Jagat, then that Lakshanam of Brahman is called what? Tatastha Lakshanam. In the previous mantra, you do not show Brahman as the Jagat Karanam. You only say what Brahman is not, and then you say what Brahman is. And here, you don't say what Brahman is not, you don't say what Brahman is also. You only say, Brahman is the cause of the Jagat. Brahman, Jagat Karanam, then Jagat is Karyam. Brahman is Karanam, Jagat is Karyam. Then Jagataha Brahmanoho Sambandaha. Again Sambandha. What is the Sambandha between Brahman and Jagat? Karanakarya Sambandaha. Is it Karanakarya Sambandaha? When you say Karanakarya Sambandaha, when you present first, thereafter you say, then you do not know what Karanam is. But you see the Karyam Jagat. Isn't it? Karyam is, therefore, Karanam also is what now? Karanam definitely is. That is why the very Karyam is. how do you say, the existence of the cause is the existence of the effect. Like a very simple example, existence of the water is the existence of the ocean, existence of the gold is the existence of ornament, existence of wood is the existence of the furniture. So also existence of Brahma Chaitanyam is what? Existence of the Jagat. Therefore, we have to say, next sentence is what? The existence of the whole Jagat is nothing but Brahman. How Brahman is here? Brahman is in the form of the existence of every Nama Rupa. Brahman is the existence of everything is what? Brahman. The chair is, mic is, light is, book is, anything is means that word stands for Nama Rupa, E stands for existence. How Brahman is? Brahman is in the form of very existence of the Jagat. Therefore, and we have to say, later on is understand, Karana Karya Yoho. First we understand, Brahman is there as the very existence of the Jagat. Thereafter, that which is there as the existence of Jagat is Brahman. Now we say, there is no distance between Karanam and Karyam. Similarly, there is no distance between Brahman and Jagat. Isn't it? So, the whole Jagat is what now? Is distancelessly in Brahman with Brahman. Therefore, Karanam is never the Karyam, but there is no Karyam without the Karanam. Therefore, the whole Karyam is nothing but Brahman. Whole Karyam is nothing but Brahman. Jagat is Brahman. Karyam is Karanam. For the whole cosmos is what? Nothing but Brahman. When you say whole Jagat is Brahman, means you see the whole Jagat being manifestation of Brahman. Is it? Whole Jagat is Brahman. So this is Karana Karya Sambandha you are establishing. And here you have to remember few things here. Now, you have to understand certain features of this Karanam. How you understand the features of mirror in the verse, here also understand certain features of Brahman. What are the features of Brahman? Here, Brahman means always, first understand Karanam, then Karyam. Then we'll go to Brahman and Jagat. Karanam is one, Karyani many. If gold is one, ornaments are many. Wood is one. The furnitures are many, isn't it? Always clay is one, the earthenware are many. So, cause is one, effects are many. So, Brahma Jagat Karanam Ekam, the object which you see in the Jagat are what now? Innumerable and many. That's why it's called Vishwam itself. So, Karanam Ekam, Karyam, Karyani Bahuni. Karyani Bahuni Karanam Ekam. Then we say Karanam Ekam, then Nityam. The cause does not, whatever happens, cause is not subject to any change or destruction or whatsoever. Cause has no beginning, cause has no end. With reference to any effect, we see the clay pot and the clay. Clay was there before the pot was made. Clay continues to exist in the pot of clay pot. Clay continues to exist in the form of pot. Clay continues to exist even after the pot is broken. So clay was, clay is, clay will ever be. So Karanam Nityam. Whereas pot was not there before, pot will not be after some time. So pot has what now? Only pot has beginning and end. Therefore, this Karanam Anadi, Karyam, what now? Sadi, isn't it? Karyam has a beginning, effect has a beginning, effect has an end. Effect has a beginning, effect has an end. Whereas cause has no beginning, cause has no end. Cause is not subject to change also. What do you say here? Cause is, isn't it? Cause is Nityam. So, cause is ekam, cause is nityam, and now you can say eternal, isn't it? Cause is always nityam. And then, not only cause is nityam, cause is sarvagatam. The whole effect part is completely pervaded by clay, the chain is pervaded by gold, furniture is pervaded by wood, so also the whole Jagat is pervaded by Brahma Chaitanyam. Therefore, what now? Sarvagatam, which you already seen now. different way of seeing it. Okay, Upanishad presents it differently. I am saying everything you understand what Shankara says here. So, karanam ekam, karanam nityam, karanam sarvagatam, all pervasive. And also, karanam also now, swatantram, the cause has independent existence. Cause is not dependent on effect for its existence, whereas effect is very much dependent on cause for its existence. Therefore, cause has independent existence means karanam swatantram. Swataha satta. Whereas effect has what now? Parataha satta. Isn't it? It has dependent existence. Whereas cause has independent existence. So, it's called swatantram. So, ekam, nityam, sarvagatam, swatantram and asangam also. Please understand, the clay can never be touched by pot. Pot can never go and touch the clay. Isn't it? Asangam also. Pot can never touch the clay. Why? It must be different from, isn't it? For one thing to touch another thing, this hand can go and touch this book because they're two different things, isn't it? This can go and touch this because it's different from this. Whereas pot is not different away from clay. Different from clay, isn't it? Therefore, pot can never go, Namarupa can never go and touch the clay or break the clay, kill the clay, undo the clay, convert clay into powder. Can the pot do it? Never. Isn't it? Because it must be different. It must be away from it. Different from it. Then it can go, two different things can come near each other. Whereas, they're not two different things enjoying the same order of reality. Isn't it? Now, book is also has independent existence. This also has independent existence. Hand also has independent existence. That means what? Book is not dependent on hand to be a book. Hand is not dependent on the book to be a hand. Therefore, they are two different things, isn't it? When two things are there, one can go near the other. Isn't it? Whereas here, they are not two different, or they do not enjoy two orders of two same order of reality is not there for clay and pot. Clay is satyam, that is the order of reality. Pot is mithya. Mithya is tariya, isn't it? What is the order of reality belonging to pot? Mithya. Therefore, karanam being satyam, karyam being mithya, karyam can never cause any harm, any destruction, any change, any bring about, can cause anything to harm to the cause. So, cause is indestructible. Cause is untainted, untouched, unafflicted, unaffected. We say what now? Asangaha. Isn't it? Karanam ekam, karanam nityam, karanam sarvagatam, karanam swatantram, karanam asangam. Is it clear now? Whereas karyams are many, karyams are mithya, karyams are what now? Subject to change, and karyams have beginning, karyams have end, karyams have dependent existence, karyams do not have independent existence, isn't it? Therefore, karyam cannot do, this is what is karyam. In fact, karyam being mithya, karyam cannot be counted as a second thing. Just now you saw in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. Now you see, understanding one thing will make understand other thing easily and clearly. Isn't it? Makes understanding much clearer and easier. Therefore, it has no independent existence means it cannot be counted as a second thing. Because it cannot count as a second thing, is what now? It is as good as non-existent. So what you should say, what is there is only satyam. Is it clear now? Similarly here, you have to say, Brahman is the karanam, the whole jagat is karyam. If you see the water and the ocean, minus water, what you can see is, you can think about only nama, rupa, which do not have existence at all. We just disappear. Similarly, Brahman is the sadvastu, karana vastu. The whole jagat is mithya means So, Brahma Jagatoho Sambandaha, Karna Karya Sambandaha, Satyam Mithya Sambandaha, isn't it? Then we can say, really speaking, when you say Mithya means Brahman is Ekam, Ekam Brahma, Satyam Brahma, Nityam Brahma, Sarvagatam Brahma, Hutantram Brahma, Asangam Brahma is what now? Whole Jagat is Mithya, which is nothing but Brahman. Is it clear now? Is what is Brahman? That Brahma Chaitanyam alone is there. What is there now? Brahman. What is there is only Brahman. Means that Brahman is existence. That Brahman is what now? Pure consciousness. And everything else is as good as non-existent. It is Mithya, which is as though there. In that what is as though there, you have resolved what? Your body has gone there. Your mind has gone there. Your pranas have gone there. Your senses have gone there. Your eyesense also has gone there. Have you got the point now? You have resolved everything there. When you say whole prapancha is mithya, whole jagat is karyam, karyam jagat is mithya, karnam alone is satyam, you cannot say count the jagat as second thing because there is no independent existence. It has no countability, isn't it? Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. Therefore, you have to say what now? The jagat is Brahman. All that is there is only Brahman. We don't say one Bhagavan is there, isn't it? Don't say many gods are there. What is this? Only God. How do we say? Oh, all that is here is only Brahman. Irippadellam Paramporule. When you say all that is there is only Brahman, when you say, you have, are you sitting there anywhere? This knowledge helps you what? To resolve your identity with the totality. Your body is part of the jagat. Your mind is part of the jagat. Your senses are part of the jagat. Isn't it? Your pranas are part of the jagat. Your eyesense is also part of the jagat. The knowledge that I am also is what now? The mind, isn't it? She's a part of the jagat. Everything has been resolved in that jagat. Mithya jagat. What is satyam? What is that which alone is always beginninglessly, endlessly, changelessly, untaintedly, unafflictedly, unaffectedly, you know, independently, what is that which alone is Satyam Brahma? Actually speaking, that Satyam Brahma is existence of the Jagat. Limitless, which is of the nature of limitlessness, is pure consciousness that can be recognized in your own mind as the very, your own Swarupam. Is it clear now? So, that is said here, for which Upanishad uses a beautiful example here. What is the example it uses? To say, any creation needs two causes. One cause is Nimitta Karanam, another cause is Upadana Karanam. Upadhiyate iti Upadhanam, that which lends support, that which is around, isn't it? When a carpenter makes the table, his knowledge is the intelligent cause, isn't it? Okay, he has to look for what? To make a table. He needs to look for what? Wood, isn't it? So that which is looked for, that which is searched for is the Upadhanam. Really speaking. Now, Upa-a-dhiyate. Upa-a-dadhati. Upa-dadhati is the verb. Upadhiyate. That is called Upadhanam. That which is searched for, that which is looked around is what? Not that which is looking around, that which is looked around, that which is searched for is Upadhanam. It's called material cause. So, Nimitta Karanam is called efficient cause or the intelligent cause. And Upadhana Karanam is what? Material cause. And here, what are these two causes? Usually, carpenter's knowledge and skill is the efficient cause. Wood becomes the material cause. Isn't it? And see, also we can say the other things which the carpenter uses, you know, such as screw, etc. Also what now? Sahakari karanam. Sahakari karanam also can be brought under upadana karanam. Isn't it? So, nimitta karanam, upadana karanam. Two causes must be there for creation of anything. A chain is a creation means gold is the material cause, the matter out of which, isn't it? Whereas the goldsmith's knowledge and skill is what? The efficient cause. So any creation, when you see, you see directly the what is perceptible is the material cause, and what is understandable is what? The intelligent cause. You don't see the carpenter's skill and skill through your physical eyes, but you understand the carpenter's skill or the goldsmith's skill and knowledge being manifest in a fine work of the chain. An artist's fine, isn't it? Skill also is revealed in his work. So you never see two things separately. When you see a wooden carving, you see the artist's skill, your knowledge, and also efficiency, at the same time, wood also, inseparably in one creation. Always inseparable. The two causes are inseparable. You get the point now? Similarly, the whole prapanchaha is what now? Karyam. Brahman is karna means, isn't it? So here we say what now? He gives the example of spider. And spider in Sanskrit language is called urna nabhihi. Now you can understand how much inner leisure one must have had to go and really find out how the spider is building its house. Do we have time to go and see all those things? Now people must have had time to watch out and to see what is there around, or to learn from that also. One must be highly relaxed. A tensed person, anxious person cannot even observe things, nor can he learn anything from what he observes. Whereas rishis must have had a very, very relaxed, mind, so they could see all these things. They could give the best example. Urna nabihi, this urna nabi, the spider, when it creates its own web, for it to go and sit in the middle comfortably, like a cushion, nice chair, it sits there very comfortably, without going out of its house, sitting there, and when any small insects come there, and when they get stuck in the web means, and it can eat its food also. You know, there's such a home, really nice home spider makes for itself, and for which no, it does not go out to have any instructions to learn how to, no drawing class, no painting class, no web making class. It has its own coaching center, no coaching centers. It has its own knowledge. Therefore, swakiya buddhihi, swakiyam, what no, sadhanam also. It has, and then where does it go out for material also? It, from its own body, isn't it? The wax comes, from its own body, the stuff required for making its web also, not from outside. So the spider is both, I think of tiger now. Not Sri Lankan tiger, anyway. I think of my spiders, because suddenly something came. Yesterday I had a phone call from in Coimbatore saying that they have found some cheetahs in the Gurukulam and all that. The sudden thing just come to my mind all the time. Suddenly I had an email saying I should definitely be there in November for Arshvidya teachers meet and all that. So just think about all those things. No? The tiger comes anyway. Spider tiger comes. Okay, so here this spider, look at this, the spider, what now? It is a Swayam, Swakiyam Jnanam, Swakiya Sadhanam, isn't it? It has its own material for the creating that web also is the spider. Knowledge required for how to make the web also is the spider, not outside of the spider. So, efficient cause of the web also is the spider. Material cause of the web also is the spider. Similarly, that's only example we can give. The one more example which Shankara gives as explanation for this is Swapna Prapanchaha. Just now we have seen, second time we have seen, third time we are coming across the Swapna business. Now, even though you analyzed Swapna before, isn't it? It's a Swapna also. When for both of what now? For the spider is the only, the two causes are non-separate. Similarly, material cause of the universe also is Brahman, not outside of Brahman. Efficient cause of the Brahman also, cause of the universe also is Brahman. Brahman is both efficient and material cause of the universe. Now you know, you all know very well how Brahman is both the causes, because you studied what is creation. You know, creation is nothing but manifestation of unmanifest Namarupa in the form of Maya. Studied where? In Rig Drisha, you have studied already. So where is Maya? What is the whole Jagat? Manifestation of Namarupas. Before they became manifest, what were they? They were Shaktihi. They were together as one undifferentiated, unmanifest Shakti. What is it called? Power? Maya. Where does the power exist? Not outside of Brahman. Isn't it? Not outside of Brahman means what? Not even different from Brahman. Like what? Like stillness is not away from, different from, distant from the water. So also the Maya Shakti is what now? Not outside of consciousness, Brahman. Therefore, this Maya is Brahman. Therefore, Maya Karam Jagat also is Brahman. Therefore, what now? Efficient cause also is Brahman. Material cause also is Brahman. For both the causes of the Jagat is what? Nothing but Brahman. By showing the whole Jagat Karyam, and through the Karyam, by showing the Maya as Karanam, and showing that Maya is not outside of Brahman, thereby showing that Maya Yaha Api Karanam, where is the Maya? Maya is not outside of Brahma Chaitanyam. By showing, you are helped to arrive at what? Brahma Chaitanyam existence. You arrive at the existence. Is it clear now? So, when you don't arrive at the clay directly, first you say the pot, and thereafter what do you say? Oh, the pot is, and what is this pot made of? Where has this pot come from? What is which sustains the pot, and where will this, when the pot is broken, where will it go? What happens to it when you analyze? You arrive at what? Clay. Isn't it? So through the pot, when you arrive at clay, then this is called what now? Tatastha Lakshanam for clay. Isn't it clear? Similarly, when you see the Jagat as the there, and see the Jagat as Karyam, and look at Brahman as Karanam, then from the Jagat, when you arrive at Brahman, then it is called what now? Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. Indirect definition of Brahman. Is it clear now? You know very clearly the difference between Swarupa Lakshanam and Tatastha Lakshanam. Both definitions reveal what now? Help you arrive at Brahman. What Brahman is. The first Swarupa Lakshanam doesn't talk anything about the Jagat. It only says what Brahman is not. Then it says how Brahman is Nityam, etc. The second mantra, it talks only about the Jagat. And Jagat is Karyam, Jagat has two Karanams, and both the Karanams are none other than Brahman. Is it clear now? It's called Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. It's also important verse. I want all of you to memorize and know thoroughly. take Swamiji's book and read the explanation for both verse number 6 and verse number 7 and memorize these two mantras and know everything what is that is presented there in the verse number 6 and verse number 7. And if you have any doubt there, you can ask me. Okay, suppose a print mistake or sometimes the sentences are not clear or something, you can ask me afterwards. Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha Yatha Prithivyam Voshadhayaha Sambhavanti Yatha Sataha Purushat Keshalomani Tatha Aksharat Sambhavati Iha Vishwam Vishwam Sambhavati. Universe comes into existence. From where? From Aksharat. Kasmat? Aksharat Vishwam Sambhavati. The universe comes into existence, comes into manifestation from the Aksharam, the imperishable Brahman. Like what? Katham Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha. Just as Urnanabhihi, what now, creates its own verb, and Grinnati sustains the web also, Tatha Prithiv Yatha Prithivyam Oshadayaha Sambhavatindi. See, Oshadayaha, all the vegetation which grow on the earth, they're all live, isn't it? It's a living plants are born out of, or born of what now? In the inert earth. Isn't it? Prithivi is inert, whereas the living big plants are living beings, isn't it? From inanimate earth, animate plants come up. So also, Tata Purushat Keshalomani. A human being is what now? A human being is a living being, but from him the nails and hair are what now? Insentient. Isn't it? They grow. So also what now? Similarly, he says what now? Actually, where is the knowledge for this to grow? The knowledge for the growth of the hair or growth of the nail is already there. Material also is already there. Isn't it? So, yatha purushat keshalom, from a living being, an insentient, inanimate hair grows, nail grows. From an insentient, inanimate earth, the living plants grow. So, also what now? Just as Urnanabhihi creates its own web, the knowledge and the material, both causes are this Urnanabhihi, the spider. So also what now? For the whole Jagat, Vishwam, Sambhavati, it comes into being from what? From imperishable Brahman, the reality. Katham Sambhavati, Yatha Urnanabhihi Srijate Grinnate Cha, Yatha Prithivyam Oshadayaha Sambhavanti, Yatha Purushat na Keshalomani Tatha. In the same way, the whole universe comes into manifestation from this Aksharam Brahma. Don't think Bhagavan is sitting there and from his head it grows out, whole Jagat comes out of it. Not that way. Example should be understood very carefully. This example is for what? Just as Urnabhi goes and sits and spreads out its web, so Bhagavan also sits in one place and then created the Jagat. No, not that way. Example should be understood carefully means what? This Brahman is the beginningless, endless, changeless, one, independent, is it, reality, and the whole Jagat, is it, I went to some unmanifest. It is not outside of Brahman. It is manifest also not outside of Brahman. It becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. It becomes manifest, again becomes unmanifest. When the Jagat is unmanifest, it is called Maya. Jagat is manifest, if the Maya becomes manifest, it is called Jagat. Manifestation is Jagat, unmanifest is Maya. Where is it happening all the time, constantly? What is substratum for this to happen? Brahma Chaitanyam. Brahman is the Chaitanyam. Therefore, he says, this is the Tatastha Lakshanam of Brahman. See, in a very briefly, in a nutshell, Brahman Swarupam, Brahman Swarupam is revealed through two definitions, direct and indirect definitions called Swarupa Lakshanam and Tatastha Lakshanam in the 6th and the 7th mantras of the first chapter. Okay, so these are the two important mantras which one has to learn thoroughly and understand. If you understand these two mantras, then later on the second chapter will be what now? Elaboration of these two mantras. This is the first section. The first section is over. That's all. Now, if you have any questions in the first section, you can ask me. So, the second section I'll do next class. Have you got it?
I've been thinking about it. It's really puzzling, this whole creation of the Brahman creates, well, everything exists in Brahman, and it is Brahman, and it's never anything else. And yet we see so much difference everywhere and so many changes. And yet this is all happening now, right now, here, within Brahman.
Yeah.
I find it the most extraordinary thing. Just thinking about it, not understanding it, but thinking about it.
See, the thing is, what is that which is involved in this? In knowing, in discovering, in searching your mind. Isn't it? The mind has its own limitation. What is it which is involved in this knowing mind? Mind itself is what? Part of the Jagat. Mind itself is part of the subtlest, isn't it? Subtlest object which is part of the manifest Jagat. Mind which is involved in this searching, in knowing, in recognizing, isn't it? This mind itself is part of the manifest object or part of the manifest Jagat, isn't it? And it is natural for one, that's why ignorance is very natural. So when that ignorance is, that's why it likened to a sleep also. So ignorance is a part, it's like a sleep, we say. Ignorance is like a sleep. So there's nobody is creating ignorance. Ignorance is naturally there, isn't it? And then the human mind, because as in the manifest universe, the mind is of the nature of searching and piercing and penetrating, understanding, search, discovering. That is why the mind is far. Isn't it? The mind is of the nature of always inquisitiveness is the nature of the mind. Being inquisitive, being curious and wanting to know, that is always this natural is nature of the mind. That is how mind is. Svabhava. Manasaha svabhavastu. No, what is svabhava, nature of the mind? It always wants to know something. Even the dullest person who doesn't want to know anything big, at least wants to know what is happening. Isn't it? That is that the basic problem of the mind only has given rise to there's something business called publications. You know that? The news, rubbish newspaper, the London News onwards, the whole big news, all the newspapers, how do they survive? Because of the swabhava of the mind. The mind wants to know something. Television news you want, then there's the messenger news you want, that news you want, every news. What is the news? News. We always want to know. Because why news? That is, we are inquisitive. We are naturally. And then if we are really given to some thinking, and that is why the person becomes scientist. He'll be sitting inside, he goes and sits inside the lab, doesn't come out at all. The whole Jagat resolves for him. He all the time is just with his own inventions and discoveries. Why? No more. no more. Not no more. Not no more. K-N-O-W. Isn't it? Not no more. Want more. Isn't not no more? Want more. Because Bakasura. How much he has eaten, still hunger is not appeased. Again wants to know more. Wants to know more. And such a mind, isn't it? Sometimes people go like that. And they also come at last to a point, no? Now people have come to this, there's something called theory of everything, T-O-E. Now this theory of everything, in fact, what it says, people want to know, want to say all about all the phenomena, they want to fit in one theory. By knowing one theory, you can know all about all the phenomena. It's all effort. Why? Why they're crazy? Why this theory of everything has come into being? Because a human mind cannot sleep. Not every mind. There's some mind, some will come there, will be searching. They go like into the field of physics and like that. People can go. In chemistry they go. They do a lot of researches. Isn't I know some people who are even now who are into so many researches and all those things. Lots of things. You know, what I'm saying, all those things are there, but when people also when come when they have lots of problems in life, problem after problem is in life, and somewhere they want to be peaceful. And the life will definitely teach everybody life, for nobody life will be a bed of roses. There will be thorns also, and there will be pains, and there will be pleasures. Who? And definitely an intelligent person learns from his experiences, and he understands. Pariksha lokan karmachitan nirvedamayat brahmanaha. He learns a lesson. Come on. This is the limitation of karma. This is the results of all accomplishments. There's really, I want to be peaceful and happy. If a person learns, comes out, even then people don't want to. Like they still want like a water buffalo. Never comes out of the water, no? They still want to be in the same old, the slush of these things. But there are some people who want to get themselves, no? And then they come out and they start thinking, and they, such people become inclined for jnanam. That is what in Srimad Ramayanam, Valmiki Ramayanam, this Sugriva goes all over. The Vali goes after him, chasing everywhere. Vali wants to kill Sugriva. Sugriva runs. There's no khand he leaves. He goes all over. You know, he goes and goes and goes, runs. He gets, but because he was going all over, he could find Sita, location of Sita. You know that where Sita was. That helped him to discover where Sita was. You know that. What does it mean? In life, you must be chased by lots of problems. Isn't samsara, dukkham, kashtam, all problems, pain and pleasure and dishonor, all those things should chase you. Then what happened now? You will really go something. Is there anything else now which will really relieve me of this? The search will help me. Searching everywhere will help you arrive at something. Then that's how you find out what now. Okay, there is something by knowing which now I can be free. That thirst, the chill, the mind is now that. The drive comes, nobody can stop you. That is when you are a sannyasi. Understand? It's not that easily doesn't come here. There is the mind of a sannyasi. I'm not talking about me, the person generally. Generally, I'm saying the mind of sannyasi, that search really pushes. Everyone will get pushed to that stage, one day or the other. Though not in this janma, at least next janma. At least one day in this lifetime. In this lifetime itself, one day everybody will be cornered to become a sannyasi, in the mentally. And then, not in this janma, at least next janma, not next janma, at least in next one janma, one day, one time, definitely everybody's mind will be, that is the nature of the mind. Mind can never keep quiet. You know? That's why people always say the more you enjoy pleasures, the Western countries actually, they look for something because they enjoy the best of everything here means, and they want something better. There's nothing now. They're bored. With everything. Now they want something more. India still the basic things are still suffering. Even though they had wonderful philosophy, spiritual wisdom, everything, still people are struggling for ordinary things. Isn't it? Now what I'm saying here, that search comes, then naturally, then you really start seeing, then you approach the Shastram, but the Shastram tells you the reason, come on, all this is because of your perception of duality. I was telling you, the perception of duality. Perception of duality is not wrong, but it is not absolutely right. perception of duality is not wrong. Shankara does not say perceiving duality is wrong. I am different from the world. The world is different from me. Everything is different from everything, isn't it? The plurality, duality, we are perceiving. My hunger is different from me. I am different. My hunger, I have to eat. If you eat, it won't appease my hunger. That is why we are all, isn't it? Because we are all so careful about all these things means, this duality is very much real. Plurality is real. But how real it is? Is absolutely real, for it's absolutely real. That is our problem. Is what is empirically real, relatively real, what is this perception of duality is okay, but perception is not, is taken for absolutely real. What is perceived, Shastram never denies your perception. It goes with your perception. Shastram accepts your perception. Shastram says your perception is real. But it's only empirically real. And what is absolutely real is not the duality, not the plurality, but non-duality, oneness of the reality. The reality alone is real, and that reality is only one, isn't it? That is, that happens to be available, that is available for recognition as very you, wherein you will disappear or say knowing which, very essence will resolve. Therefore, in that is vision of non-duality, perception of duality. Is it clear now? So, in the vision of non-duality, perception of duality is not denied, but not accepted as absolutely real, but empirically real. Adi Shankar Bhagavad Padaha accepts the empiricality, empirical duality being empirically real. But what is absolutely real is non-duality. Don't ever say, Shankara, we don't say that duality is not there at all. That's why we say duality is very much there, but it's empirically real. It is as though. It is not absolutely real, isn't it? But to see the duality being empirically real, not absolutely real, one must have the vision of non-duality. When such a thirst, such an urge, such a drive is there in the mind, then that mind approaches Shastram. Never ever one should study by oneself. Mundaka Bhashyam, Shankara Bhagavad Pada says it very clearly, never ever one should study the Shastram by oneself. One has to study definitely with the help of the teacher only. Shastra Anveshanam Swataha Na Kuriyat Swatantrena Na Kuriyat. Shastra Anveshanam Swataha Na Kuriyat. One should definitely study with the help of the teacher. Then definitely it works, and when you study, when you understand, when you retain, all the time you think about it, you can't take a mind away from it, because it is like the crazy scientist, like a person who is sitting inside the lab all the time, growing his beard, he forgets even to shave, no time for shaving also. All the time mind is given to that, such a thing means. So also, for the person, when you study Shastram, the mind is totally given to that means, and it becomes Shravanam, it becomes Mananam, it becomes contemplation. In that, you see, Yasakshat kurute prabodha samaye swatmanameva dvayam. You see yourself being non-dual, in which non-dual reality of yourself, you see the jagat being non-separate from you. That is the vision. Assessed, okay? Okay. Next question.
Okay, whatever we objectify is not Atma, is Anatma, because that was thought. And yet, Brahman is everything, Jagat, everything.
Yeah.
How do you reconcile that?
That is what the whole teaching, because you missed Tattvabodha class, you missed Dhritarishya class, you missed, anyway, this one now will become very clear. But the reason is, Brahman and Atma are one and the same. That's what that's the biggest understanding.
But Anatma, I'm saying, but whatever you objectify is not Atma. Okay, whatever you say.
Yeah,
is not Atma.
What I'm saying, it is just to understand, first of all, to exactly understand what the reality is. Reality is available only as the self. for recognition. You can't see reality as reality outside, isn't it? To know the reality as the reality is available for recognition, Brahman, the reality, is available for recognition only as the self, as the subject of, as the content of I. Therefore, first of all, you don't even know what is the self, what the non-self is, what you are and what you are not. Therefore, first the Shastram teaches, come on, first of all, you know, you are the knower. Anything known by you is an object of your knowledge. So, you are different from, isn't it, object. Subject is different from object. First, you have to know. You don't even know that you are different from the world. First, before to know what you are, you need to know what you are not. Isn't it? In order to help you understand what you are not, thereby to make you understand what you are, the Shastram teaches what now? This Drik Drishya Vivekaha, subject-object analysis, Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya, the methodology is used. Then it teaches, come on, everything known by you is an object. You are the knower, subject. Subject you knower is different from the known. Known is not mistaken for the knower. So also not only things external to the body is object. Your body is known to you, your mind is known to you, pranas are known to you. Known, everything is object of knowledge means who are you. Isn't it? That is how it helps to distinguish you, the knower from the known. It uses first, you are different. When you understand what you are, you understand you, the content of you is actually laksharta, is pure consciousness. Then you understand consciousness is the existence of everything. Then you say everything is consciousness, Brahman. That is why Atma is not the Anatma, but Anatma is Atma. We never say that. We never say, oh, I am not the body. It's another very funny thing, okay? When you come to the class and when you get up and go back, the new people have come to the class. We ask them, oh, where are you coming from? If we ask them, and if they say, the answer he says, no, I am Atma. I don't come from anywhere. I don't go anywhere. I'm everywhere. I'm all pervasive, he says. It'll be confusing. So, vyavahare have revealed your relative identity. In kashtakale, problems come in life, have your absolute identity. Absolute identity for you to keep you in balance, okay? And relative identity you have to say. And everybody has to say, I am Atma, you are Atma. All confusing, isn't it? How many Atmas are here then? Isn't it? So that's all. We had to, relatively, we had to say, come on, I have come from Coimbatore, I am from India. No, I had to say properly. I am Atma, I am all pervasive self, you know, everything in me, every whole jagat is there. That is the truth, isn't it? That's absolute fact actually. In me means which me? In this big fat me body or what? In which me the whole jagat is there? In me means, all of us mean consciousness only. In consciousness the jagat is, isn't it? Which me? The whole jagat, isn't it? So when you say, see, water is not the ocean, isn't it? But the ocean is nothing but water. To say that, you should know what? The truth of the universe is not the universe, but the whole universe is nothing but Brahman. To understand that whole, to say whole universe is Brahman, you should know what Brahman is. Isn't it? And to know what Brahman is, first you have to know what? What existence is, you should know what Brahman is not also. How is it available for recognition? As the very searcher. That is, who is the one who is involved in the job of searching for Brahman? Who is the seeker here? Who is the one? Does the leg want to know? Does the hand want to know? Does the nerve want to know what Brahman is? What reality is? Who wants to attain moksha now? Who is the one? Tissues and muscles, do they want moksha? Do they want to know? Who is the one who wants to know? Does your heart want to know? Are the lungs? Do the lungs want to know? Who is the one who wants to know now? Isn't it? There's nobody. Really speaking, it's just that desire is the very thought, is the mind. Isn't it? It's all the mind. You can't even say mind wants to know. Because desire arises part of the mind, you say mind wants to know. Really speaking, mind, you can't say mind wants to know also. There is naturally a desire which forms part of the mind for knowledge, desire for knowledge is always there. Why? Because desire for one's own swarupam is always there. Desire for happiness is naturally there. Desire for fullness is always there. Desire for completion is always there. Isn't it? It's naturally there. Therefore, that is the way. You know yourself, know the very truth of yourself as an individual, and that itself is what now? Knowing the truth of the whole universe. That is how you understand the whole Jagat is Brahman. Really speaking, today we have seen what today? The first verse has revealed the Tvampada Lakshyartha. Next will be what? Tatpada Lakshyartha. We will see it differently. Then actually the Tatastha Lakshana will understand actually better there tomorrow. And then when you do the Dakshinamurti Stotram. Then Asipada Lakshyartha will be, Asipada Artha will be revealed where? In the third verse. So beautiful. Is it clear now? Have you answered your question?
Yeah.
Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.